Before I get started with a short story I have for you, I'm excited to see you all. We've kind of labeled this a reunion Sunday, and I went through and I was with a bunch of the youth, former youth members. Some of them have moved on and stuff like that. And I said, "Hey, it'd be great to see you," and you're out there. I'm beaming like a proud parent right now, just looking at you all. I'll look around and, oh, I'm excited. As I said earlier, we just finished 6 weeks going through the prodigal son, but actually the whole chapter 15 of Luke. And it's one of my favorite chapters, maybe because I relate so well to it, because I too was a prodigal. And the things that I did and the places that I went and where my life was headed. So I just love that story. And if you get on the internet or even watch movies or read stories, there are so many stories out there that relate just like the prodigal of people who have gone away and then they come home. And what I want to do this morning is I want to share for you a story from Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors of all time. And I love reading his stories because he just paints beautiful pictures. And from his book, which is called No Wonder They Call Him Savior, he wrote a story called Come Home. And I want to read that for you. It says, "The small house was simple but adequate. It consisted of one large room on a dusty street. Its red tile floor was one of many in this poor neighborhood in the outskirts of a Brazilian village. It was a comfortable home. Maria and her daughter, Christina, had done all they could to add color to the gray walls and warmth to the dirt floor. An old calendar, a faded photograph of a relative, a wooden crucifix. The furnishings were modest. A pallet on either side of the room, a wash basin, and a wood-burning stove. Maria's husband had died when Christina was an infant. The young mother stubbornly refusing opportunities to remarry. She got a job and set out to raise her young daughter. And now, 15 years later, the worst years were over. Though Maria's salary as a maid afforded few luxuries, it was reliable and it did provide food and clothes. And now Christina was old enough to get a job and to help out. Now, some said Christina got her independence from her mother. She recoiled at the traditional idea of marrying young and raising a family. Not that she couldn't have had her pick of husbands. Her olive skin and her brown eyes kept a steady stream of prospects at her door. She had an infectious way of throwing her head back and filling the room with laughter. She always had this rare magic that some women have that make men feel like kings just being in their presence. But it was her spirited curiosity that made her keep all men at arm's length. She spoke often of going to the city. She dreamed of trading her dusty neighborhood for an exciting avenue of street and city life. Just the thought of this horrified her mother. Maria was always quick to remind Christina of the harshness of the streets. People don't know you there. Jobs are scarce and life is cruel. And besides, if you went there, what would you do for a living? Well, Maria knew exactly what Christina would do, or what she would have to do for a living. That's why her heart broke when she awoke one morning to find her daughter's bed empty. Maria knew immediately where her daughter had gone. She also knew immediately what she must do to find her. She quickly threw some clothes in a bag and gathered up all her money, and she ran out of the house. And on her way to the bus stop, she entered the local drugstore to get one last thing: pictures. She sat in the photograph booth, closed the curtain, and spent all she could on pictures of herself. With her purse full of black and white photos of herself, she boarded the next bus to Rio de Janeiro. Maria knew that Christina had no way of earning any money. She also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to give up. You see, when pride meets hunger, humans will do things that were never before thought of. Knowing this, Maria began her search. Bars, hotels, nightclubs, any place with a reputation for streetwalkers or prostitutes. She went to them all. And at each place, she left a picture, taped to a bathroom mirror, tacked to a hotel bulletin board, fastened to a corner phone booth. And on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. Now, it wasn't long before the money in the pictures ran out and Maria had to go home. The weary mother wept as the bus began its long journey back to her small village. After a few weeks, Christina, while she was descending one of the hotel stairs, her young face was tired. Her brown eyes no longer danced with youth, but spoke of pain and fear. Her laughter was broken. Her dream had become a nightmare. 1,000 times over, she had longed to trade these countless beds for her secure pallet back home. Yet the village was, in too many ways, too far away. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed a familiar face. She looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a picture of her mother. Christina's eyes burned, and her throat tightened as she walked across the room and removed the small photo. Written on the back was this compelling invitation. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. I love stories like that. They just speak and I sometimes when I watch them at home, different prodigal stories, it just makes me want to cry because I relate so much to having rebelled and needing to come back home and asking forgiveness. And part of my journey as I even get to being in this place has been having to go up to a lot of people and tell them I'm sorry and ask for their forgiveness. And so I relate to that very well. There's a song that Don's going to show you a video here in just a moment, and it's Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, and it's by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And it just speaks of the forgiveness that we need, that all of us need and stuff like that. So let's watch the video.
You've been made new, but you're still standing where you fell. 'Cause when you look in the mirror, seems like all you ever see are the scars of every failure and the you that used to be. tell your heart to beat again. Oh, oh, just breathe it in.
While the song was going, they went around, they passed out pictures for you. Hang on to it. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've become, come home. Jesus, God loves each and every one of us, and his arms are wide open. Whether you've never accepted him or you accepted him some 40 or 50 years ago, if you've ever strayed away, God is waiting for you. He loves each and every one of us with his arms open wide, and he longs for us to come home. Now, the story that, the song that they just played, Phillips, Craig, and Dean, they did this several years ago, and Randy Phillips, he told the story, and I want to tell you the background behind this song that we just watched. And, you know, pastors, they come in all shapes and sizes and all temperaments, and I usually don't feel the pattern of most of them, and I realize that. But this one particular pastor that he was telling about is a high adrenaline pastor. You know, type A, jumping out of airplanes, bungee jumping, riding motorcycles. And he actually talked one of the members of his congregation into allowing him to go into the operating room during open heart surgery. And so he got ready and he stands in the corner as the patient is wheeled in. And they begin the operation as they do, and they cut the chest open and they open the cavity and they pop the heart out. And then the surgeon began to do the work on the heart that he does and to fix it. Puts the heart back together and gets it all repaired and puts it back. And then he began to gently massage the heart to try to get the heart to go, to start. But the heart didn't start on its own. So he massaged the heart again and still nothing happened. And they began to do some more extreme measures to the heart to get it to go. The pastor stand there said, I'm about to see this surgeon lose his patient. They did a little bit more work, and still nothing happened. And finally, the surgeon, he knelt down beside the patient, and he took off his surgeon's mask, and he said, Miss Johnson, this is your surgery, this is your surgeon. The operation went perfectly. Your heart has been repaired. Now tell your heart to beat again. And it started. See, there are so many of us who over time, over things that have happened, we've allowed our hearts to stop beating. Even though God, the great physician, has repaired our hearts, he's covered us with his grace. Sometimes it takes you and me to tell our hearts to beat again, to love again, to hope again. So to any one of you out there who has a broken heart or a wounded heart, the great surgeon is telling you to tell your heart to beat again. Now the worship team is getting ready to lead us in another version of that song. Danny Gokey, who was on American Idol, and some of you may know him, just before he started the audition, his wife passed away. And he heard this song, and it just really spoke to him, and he got permission to rewrite the lyrics. The chorus is the same, but he rewrote the lyrics to match a little bit of what he says. So the worship team is going to lead all of us in singing, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. Worship team, go ahead.